there's been a lot of talk about the drafting by position issue, and the implication is that you need forwards more than defense. But couldn't I make the argument, based on the goals you guys scored last year, goal scoring wasn't your biggest problem?
Well, you really do draft the best player. If there's one thing that I've learned from the amateur guys and from the people in this business, you have to take the best player. Now, what you do get into a situation where the players are so close. If two players are so close in, and they go back and forth, and you would love to sit in on some of these arguments, guys, between two players, because it'll start with the regional guys when they're putting the list together, and then it'll get on the big list, and the regional guys can pipe in at any point if they've seen both players, mm-hmm. or if they're protecting their own player. And then you've got the crossover scouts. But it might get down to a situation where you're arguing between a centerman and a defenseman, and it's so marginally close that you will then enter the discussion point, where are we best suited?
No,
so when you say draft by position, some of these things are so close. You've seen the mock draft, guys, and you've seen 12 different top fives by the experts. Now, the experts, where do they get their information? They talk to the scouts. They don't go to all the games. They can't. They're in the media. They can't go to all the games. On your RinkNet, when you plug in your scouting system in the morning, it tells you how many games you've been at this year. Now, I've been at 171 games this year, and I'm not a scout. And so I have my information, and that's where all the mock draft information comes from. It's from talking to the people that go to the game. So if you're going to watch the mock drafts, those are people that talk to people. The actual draft is the people that are at the games making the decisions. And when it gets down to it, is it by position? No. But if it's that close, that may make the difference.
No, Dave, when you and your staff get together most years, you have a general idea how the first four or five picks are going to go. But in a year like this, with so many rumors of teams like Columbus or Edmonton possibly trading those first or second pick, is it a multiple scenarios that the Leafs staff have to put together? Because you really have no clue who will be there on the board at five.
You do not. And anyone that says they do, that this is who this team is taking, right now at this point, there's no way. There's no possible way. So you do have different scenarios created. And you have scenarios created, or you have ledges. And you say, okay, if we get to this ledge and these players are available. If we get to this ledge and these players are available. But what you don't control is what happens when four players are taken and somebody is on that board that somebody else has to have. That's when it will get really interesting, I think, through this process. Because, you know, as we've seen, so many players are close and so many, it's different flavors, guys. You walk into a Baskin and Robbins, there's 31 flavors. You know, do you like chocolate or do you like vanilla? And it can be that close. And they can both be great flavors. But if there's a flavor left at five that someone else is absolutely in love with and blows you away, then you have to listen at that point. But we, you know, at this point, we fully intend to use the pick, clearly.
Dave Poulin's our guest, of course, VP of Hockey Operations for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Guys are getting back to full health. I know they haven't been on skates, but players like Leupel, players like Kuhlman that couldn't finish the season, no reason whatsoever to not expect them fully engaged to go in September, is there?
No, there's not. And, you know, I think if we go to Loops, he maybe more than anybody else on the team, and it was the first injury. It wasn't the shoulder when he actually went out. It was a wrist injury in Vancouver in early February that really set him back. I think he was fifth or sixth in the league in scoring at that point, and Phil was right beside him. And, you know, he as a pro kept the injury very quiet and played through it, but it really set the team back and set his play back. So, you know, a player like that, I think it's underappreciated how much he meant to us last year and how much the loss of him, and it was the loss twice. The first time we lost him with the injury, but he kept playing, and then of course we lost him with a shoulder injury.
Now, will you take a look at whoever you do get at five? Do you expect him this year with the talent available that he will be able to compete or be good enough to compete for job and possibly stick with the team as a rookie?
It's a great question because every year there's a handful of kids that do. But it might not be the first two or three. I mean, look at Cam Fowler a couple of years ago at number 12, or look at Skinner at number 7. You know, it might be a handful of players. But I've had this discussion, actually, if I go back, right, the year I was drafted would have been a 20-year-old draft. And we used to have this discussion as players as we watched it go to 18 years old. When it first started, the 18-year-old draft, all the players were told by everyone around them, look, just go to training camp. Don't expect to make the team. You're going to be sent back to junior. So the expectations weren't there, and the summer drive wasn't there. Whereas with the 20-year-old draft, you couldn't go back to junior. You were going to the minors if you didn't make the big team. So your mindset was very different. There was a lot of pressure on the 7th overall pick in the first round if he couldn't go back to junior, if he had to go to the minors or play in the NHL. So I'll actually, when I'm talking to some of these really highly rated kids, I will throw the gauntlet down and say, hey, don't just come to training camp to come to training camp. Come to training camp to make the team. And, you know, and there are a handful of guys in this draft that will do it. And, you know, hopefully we have one of them.
Sure, before you go, I'm sure these conversations have been had with Brian Burke, with Dave Nonis, all of you as a group. But do you feel like you have one plan for how this current CBA is and another for, I'm talking about the whole summer beyond the draft, and another for as parameters change somewhat in terms of what you want your roster to look like? There's last lockout, Dave. We obviously had contracts being amnestied, the ability to buy players out, and obviously still the ability to send players to the minors. Some of those options or all of those options might not be the case in August or September whenever a deal gets done.
It would be too difficult to plan for. It really would. There's too many hypotheticals. There's too much unknown to say, hey, we've got to have a contingency plan for this. You always have contingency plans based on, you know, just being a pro and being ready for whatever happens. But to think of what's going to happen in the upcoming summer of negotiations, if you tried to plan for that, I don't think you'd have any chance at all.